This episode is brought to you with the help from Newbility. Newbility is your go-to IT partner offering tailored solutions in talent acquisition, infrastructure support, network reliability, and cutting-edge AI. We help you stay ahead by turning technology into a strategic advantage for your business. Newbility, turning your challenges into powerful opportunities.
All right, well, welcome to this edition of the Viking Press Pass. I'm Matthew Nichol, and voice of Augustana football. And today we have Joran Klemm, place kicker for the Vikings. I always get a lot of special requests. We got to get the special teams in here. So certainly looking forward to today. So Joran, thanks for joining me.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
So Joran, for those, you know, watching, maybe don't know you very well. Would you mind just doing kind of a quick intro?
Yeah, so as you kind of said, my name is Joran Klemm, originally from Columbus, Ohio, and I went to Whetstone High School, and I'm here now at Augie place kicking as well as punting, and currently finishing my degree for biology.
Love it. So Joran, so we talked about it's, can you maybe talk a little bit about your name, the origin, and then, you know, sounds like, as we were talking a little bit before, your mom had come over here during her college days. Kind of how'd your parents meet, and then ultimately how did you kind of settle into Columbus, Ohio? Maybe share a little bit about that.
Yeah, so my mom, she's originally from the Netherlands, and she came over during her college days. And she found an internship at the Olympic training facility in Colorado Springs, which is where my dad happened to be as well at the time. And they kind of kicked it off and kind of found each other there in the same program. And then both of them decided to move to Columbus and finish both of their graduate degrees there. And then they kind of settled down there. And then one thing led to another, and they decided to have a family and ended up with me and my brother, and that's kind of how I ended up in Columbus. So,
have you been back out to Colorado Springs with them yet, or?
No, I have. I actually have never been to Colorado. So they've always talked about the training facility and kind of what they did there, but I've yet to make it out there yet. So I'm definitely looking forward to it if I can at some point.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I spent just under 8 years actually out in Denver. So I'd been down, kind of near the Olympic Training Center. And there's a really cool place out there called the Incline. So, if you're looking for a good workout, get your butt kicked a little bit, ask your parents about the Incline. See if they have any memorable stories about that.
I'll definitely ask him, yeah.
So, all right, so Columbus, Ohio, how did you get the connection to Augie?
Yeah, so as a senior, I kind of decided pretty late that I wanted to be a student athlete. I kind of was back and forth between it my junior year, and then after my junior season, I really decided, I was like, I'm not ready to give up sports and just be a regular student. So I started my recruiting pretty late, and then on top of that we also had COVID, so there wasn't many opportunities. I only had like 2 to 3 schools ever really looking and kind of offering me a spot on the roster. And the way I ended up at Augie was that I have family in the state, because my dad, he was born and raised in Hoopston, Illinois. And so that was one factor. And then another one was just kind of Coach Bell and Coach Ragone really consistently saying, like, we'd love to have you on the team. And they thought it was a great fit for me. And then once I visited, I kind of decided to pull the trigger on coming here. So I haven't looked back since, though.
Love it. So growing up in Columbus, Ohio, then were you a Ohio State Buckeye fan then? And do you still kind of, do you still follow them if you are?
Oh, yeah. Huge Buckeye fan. I'm currently the only one out of my immediate family that hasn't gone to Ohio State. So we'll see if I end up back there at some point.
Yeah. Is there, you know, any question around like post-grad about going back and you know, doing, you know, any type of like graduate degree work, you know, maybe at Ohio State later on down the road? Or
yeah, I've definitely thought about it. Both my parents, as I said, finished their graduate degree there. So they have a lot of connections within the university. So it's definitely an option for me moving forward.
Love it. Yeah, I mean, I grew up, you know, I've grown up in Iowa, so I'm a Hawkeye fan. So, you know, it's like, you know, you got the Buckeyes and Michigan and, you know, all those other, you know, schools within the Big Ten. So, so Hawkeye for life. Although, ironically, I have never been to an Iowa Hawkeye game as well. So, you know, gosh, 42 years old now and still haven't gone to one. So don't feel so bad yet. So we're in week six, you know, of the season. Vikings are 2-2 on the year, you know, just coming off a tough loss this last weekend. And, you know, so hopefully it's a really good bounce back opportunity for Elmhurst. And, you know, I think is interesting, why I was excited to talk to you is your role is really kind of threefold. So, you know, you have kickoff duties, obviously, you know, field goals, extra points, and then the punting. So I kind of want to talk a little bit about all three kind of phases of those games. So let's maybe start with the field goals. So far in the CCIW, you're a perfect 5-for-5. And actually, no other kicker in the conference was perfect this year. So I think that's kind of a unique stat that that I saw. Now I feel like we've really seen such a positive shift in the kicking game over the last couple of years. And, you know, it really kind of started to shift with Sydney Maroon. And then now into you this year, off to a really great start. I mean, what's your thought, you know, Ben, on just the field goal kind of special teams unit, you know, over the last couple of years and how things continue to kind of move the ball in the right direction?
Yeah, as you kind of mentioned, Sydney Maroon, I've been behind him for 3 years now, and he's done a phenomenal job. I believe he led the CCIW in his field goal percentage last year. So he's definitely mentored me into kind of my role now, and I've definitely taken a first good step forward. I mean, we're not even halfway through the season, how you kind of mentioned that I am perfect, so hopefully that continues throughout the rest of the season.
No jinx, but, I hope.
yeah. But, I mean, my job as a kicker, it's just a just a field goal, just get points on the board. And, I mean, that's kind of what I pride myself in, as if we can't convert in the red zone, it's my job to get something out of it. So I take a lot of pride in that.
You know, I think about a field goal, to me, it's like it feels a little bit like poetry in motion, right? You've got the snap, the hold, the kick, kind of the timing of it all. You know, as you think about it from your perspective, you know, is there really a level of timing and perfection that kind of plays into that, you know, to continue to be successful? And you know, where are things that, you know, ultimately can kind of disrupt, you know, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent?
Yeah, I mean, there's 11 guys in the play for a reason. If my front nine don't hold their blocks as long as they can, then obviously there's a chance of the ball getting blocked. And then same for the snap. If it comes back too slow or it's off target for my holder, there's a bunch of variability that goes into the field goal unit. But, I mean, if those guys can do their job to their standard, I mean, we're going to be successful, which is what we've seen for the past four games. So.
Now, is there a consistency, you know, in like this, like relationship bond between you and the holder? You know, is there a ton of like reps that happen, you know, throughout the week? You know, in terms of like, you know, how the ball is angled, how it's tilted, anything like that that really, hopefully I didn't freeze here. Did I maybe lose my camera? Did I go dark there? There we go.
Yep.
All right, there, I think I'm back. You know, is there, you know, is there some relationship and trust and just, you know, bond that you kind of get with the person that's holding the ball? Like, how does that play into it?
Yeah, so the past 3 years, I've always, my holder has always been Dakota Straight. But recently, or for the past 4 games, it's been Jack Gooch. And he kind of won the position over during our fall camp and then our 2 scrimmages that we've had. So it's been new, but also, I mean, every rep that we've gotten together, it's been an instant click. I mean, I've told him what I'd like to see with the ball angle. You know, I prefer it straight up and down, but some people prefer the lean towards the holder a little bit. But, I mean, just good communication between Jack Gooch and myself leads to the success so far. And he's definitely done a really good job so far.
You know, when I was in high school, I was a holder. And I tell you what, to me, that was the most, like, nerve-wracking thing. You know, it's like getting the snap, getting the ball down in time. You know, you almost feel like you're a little bit rushed. And you're like, did I hold it correct? So, you know, there's a ton of stress. You know, I just can recall kind of being in that role in the past. So,
yeah.
Now let's turn to the kickoff side of things. So, you know, currently the net on our kickoff is about 44 and a half yards, which is second best in the conference behind Wheaton by just about a yard. Now, I was looking at last year. It's about 6 yards further. So we were right around 38. Net yards on the kickoff. So do you feel like, you know, the success comes from, you know, is it the coverage unit? Is it additional, like, mechanics on your end? Like, where do we feel like you've maybe gained that 6 yards? Because that can be pretty significant, you know, from a position standpoint of things.
Yeah, so last year I kind of took over the kickoff spot. I believe it was midway through the season, I would say. So I didn't have a ton of in-game experience. I did have a few here and there in my freshman and sophomore year, but I fully got the job last year, halfway through the season. So I think a big thing would definitely be experience, because there's a lot of factors that go into our kickoff scheme. Yeah, I'm not going to get into some of it just for our future teams, but weather is definitely one of them, and then our personnel is another. But simply, if I can do my job putting the ball where I want to and how we're going to scheme that up, definitely has led to a lot more success, as you said, with those 6 extra yards. And I know that our special teams unit prides in winning 1/3 of the game. We have offense, defense, and our special teams. And if we can get those 6 extra yards, and that's 6 extra yards that the opponent has to drive down the field and score against. So I just pride myself in putting our defense in a good position at the beginning of the game.
What, you know, as you think about, you know, our up and coming, you know, kickers, you know, on the kickoff side of things, is there, you know, any, you know, type of advice, you know, you give, you know, to the underclassmen that are maybe on the, you know, the team today?
I would say swing comfortably, because if you can get really good contact on the ball, that ball is going to go, for one, where you want it to go, and it's going to be your best ball. Like, if you can get a good contact point on it, you're going to be able to compress it, and then it's just going to go as far as you want and exactly where you want it as well. And that ultimately will lead to a good kick and the success of the kickoff team.
So you said swing comfortably. So is there a part of, like, stretching, pregame prep, and things like that that you continue, you know, to have to work on? Is it, you know, a lot of, like, hip mobility? Like, how do you get a successful swing?
I've been doing the same warm-up since high school, especially my pregame warm-up. It always consists of some plyometrics and then also some mobility work as you said, with the hips and stuff like that. And then also kind of breaking down my kick. So I start with kind of a no-step line drill just to kind of get my swing path right down the line. And then a one-step along the line as well. And that just gets me to, you know, keep my body square to the ball so I'm not overturning my hips or underturning it, which can push the ball either left or right. Just focusing on getting everything in line and right down the path that I want to.
Yeah, I think that's interesting because, you know, a lot of times people think like, you know, just kick the ball through the field goal. It's like there's so much that goes into it. Yeah. You know, a really good friend of mine, Mike Clark, kicked for Augie. You know, so I always like to, you know, kind of understand, you know, from a mentality perspective, like, you know, when you're going up there, you want it to feel just so natural. You know, you're not thinking about too much, but it's so much about like muscle memory, you know, and some of those things. But so let's talk a little bit about punting. So, you know, we're tied for first with Carthage for the most fair catch punts at 11. So, you know, a couple of things I think about that. It's like, you know, when you think about, you know, drawing a fair catch, do you feel like it's really more about hang time? Is it about yardage? Where do you feel like we've been really successful? Is it our punt coverage unit, you know, going down, the gunners getting down there in time? Like, where do you feel like it's been so successful so far this year to drive so many fair catches?
Cord. All right, we are back after some technical difficulties on my end, so apologize, Jorn. So let's talk a little bit about punting. One of the things I was mentioning before the internet connectivity kind of messed with me is we were tied first with Carthage for the most fair punts, fair punt catches at 11. So, you know, when we think about that, where do you feel like the success comes from on the Augie side of things to put us in that position to essentially reduce, you know, folks being able to bring it back?
I would say a huge factor is definitely how Coach Bell schemes up our punt team, since he's the one that is the kind of coach that provides the scheme for it. And he does a really good job of kind of making sure, for one, that the snap and kick first off gets off, and then during practice he hammers drills that force kind of the returner to make a fair catch and not really giving him an option to go anywhere on the field because of the drills that we do in practice, as well as the personnel that he puts on there for coverage. And also, I punt pretty well, but I kind of have an issue of I punt it too high and I don't get enough distance on it that I think personally, but do hang the ball up there pretty well for my return team to get down there. So I think that's kind of where those, I believe it was 16 fair catches last season. That's kind of where that number comes from, just from me being able to put the ball up there so high, as well as the personnel and schematic of our punt team being able to get down the field and cover the returner as well.
So you have a long, so you talked about, you know, obviously getting height on it. Now from a length mm-hmm. perspective, you know, everybody loves a big bomb. You know, everyone loves it regardless, you know, whether you schemed it up or not, or you just made great contact. But, you know, you had a career long of 52 last year. Your long is 47 this year. Do you know what your longest punt kind of in a game, you know, is?
In a varsity game, I'm not sure. But at the JV level, I believe it was 60 something with a good roll. So
60 something with a good roll. I like it.
I definitely would like I would definitely like to get more 50 yard plus balls in that category, but I mean, that's something that I've obviously trying to been work on throughout this season and last as well. So hopefully I can get a couple in there.
So, you know, a little bit about the mechanic side of things. You know, I notice, you know, small things in how you drop and kind of release the ball. You know, how are some different ways that you do, you know, change up your mechanics based on the type of punt like you're trying to get?
Yeah, so the two big differences in punts that I do, one would be just a regular punt, and then the second one would be an Aussie drop, and that's kind of more for our, you know, pin situations where we're kind of in no man's land, where we're too far for a field goal, but regular punting would probably lead to a touchback, and that's just kind of a different drop. So for a regular drop, I'm just trying to put a good spiral on the ball so that breaks through the air and, you know, is long and high as well. But for an Aussie drop, it kind of trying to put some backspin on it, so when it lands, hopefully it rolls back or to the side rather than forwards. And I would say those two would be the main differences in how I drop the ball. So
other is than that Aussie drop where you, like, you point the tip of the ball down essentially?
Yeah, so that's, it's kind of like it would basically be out of my hand how a field goal or a kickoff ball would sit on the tee or on the ground.
Okay, all right. I didn't know there was an actual name for it, so learned something new today. Yeah. Now, have you ever just caught the ball on a punt, you looked up and you saw that the entire defense just dropped back and thought, I should just take off? Like, does that ever come across your mind?
No, because I try not to look up during the game. I think, personally, that's a bad habit, because I think of my job is get the ball off, and if I get it off well, hopefully I can push back our defense into a good field position. But I try not to look up, because I feel like that's a bad habit, because, for one, my job is to kick the ball and not run for a first down. I mean, yeah. I've had some instances where I've had to do that, but that's just because it was a mistake on my end, or operation wise it was a mistake. But I do watch back film and think, man, I think I could have got the first down here. It is what it is. Hindsight is always 20/20. So
it is. You know, it's risk reward, right? I mean, you know, I don't know if you'd be in trouble both ways regardless of if you got the first down or not. So you know, is there much that goes into scouting each week, you know, on, you know, from the special team side of things?
Yeah, so we change our looks pretty much every week based on what the punt defense is showing or the kickoff return team is showing. We schematically try and put the ball in the worst position possible for the opponent, and hopefully we can turn that into the greatest position for our defense or offense. And that comes from the coach's side, but for personal, I just try and kick the ball as far as I can, really.
I like it.
And then for game days as well, we do also have one of our coaches, he scouts kind of hang time, distances, like, you know, what are the strengths and weaknesses of our opponents' kickers during their warm-up. So we definitely do have different scouting that we do based off of our opponents.
All right. Now, what about outside of, like, football and school? Any, like, hobbies, anything you like to do, you know, non-football, kind of non-school related?
I picked up bow hunting during COVID. My dad kind of bought this old bow off of Facebook Marketplace and then kind of showed me. And I was like, you know what? I could probably get used to this. So that's kind of where that started, and haven't looked back ever since.
Have you been doing any scouting with Ruckus at all? I know he, you know, he's kind of picked it up here in the last couple of years there as well. You guys ever go out and scout together? Or?
Not scout together, but we definitely do try and shoot together, especially on our kind of more laid back practice days because we don't have practice as long on certain days. So usually one of us would be like, hey, you want to go shoot? And we're like, absolutely. So I've definitely made a good bond with him through that. And then I know we have another linebacker, Jason Whistle. He also bow hunts as well, and we've kind of took him under our wing a little bit with that as well. So,
where do you guys go to shoot at?
In a safe space.
In a safe space.
In the backyard.
All right, fair enough. Okay, so now let's go back to Whetstone. Let's go back a little bit to your high school days. Now, you were first team all-city honor player on that 2021 team, you know, city champs for the 10th straight year. Now, do I have it right? You were second base, maybe outfield and pitcher?
Yeah, I played mainly second base, a little bit of shortstop and third, and then also for my senior year, our head coach kind of threw me in there because I was asking for it. So I pitched a little bit then.
Was that against Lyndon McKinley?
Yes, it was. Yep.
Because I can't remember where I found the stat, but it's like you pitched three innings. You had seven strikeouts and got the win. So
yep, I did.
So, you know, for not doing it very, very much, I mean, that's by all accounts, that's a damn good night of pitching.
Yeah, it is. I pitched a little bit in the Little League, but I say for my senior night, my biggest stat that I'm definitely proud of was I went switch hitter on my second at bat, and I hit a home run. So
nice.
Definitely proud of that one.
You know, now, when you were thinking about, you know, going on and continuing to play sports kind of to the next level, would, you know, did baseball ever come into, you know, the purview of, hey, maybe I want to try that as opposed to football, or was it really about football was kind of all in for you?
My decision was kind of football. I really enjoyed baseball in high school because of the players around me. All 9 starters on my senior year. We all played together since Little League, so the kind of camaraderie that we all had together is what really made it special for me. And after that senior year, I really didn't think that I would kind of be able to create that atmosphere again for baseball. So that's kind of what my deciding factor was.
So lastly, just a couple more questions. So biology you talked about is your major. What are you thinking about doing, after graduation, kind of career wise? Where do you think that's going to try and take you out in the real world, I'll say?
Yeah, so I've kind of been looking at 3 different options. They're vastly different, but the first one is if I wanted to continue my academic career, I would be looking at post-grads, whether that be a physician assistant or if I would take a gap year, I would most likely prep myself for optometry school. But that would be for academic-wise. I've also thought about continuing to play football overseas. This has kind of been an idea I've had ever since we played in Germany 2 years ago. I thought I was like, I definitely could compete at this level, and I do have connections on my mom's side over there, so I definitely wouldn't be completely alone, but I also have, you know, family members that would love to see kind of what American football would be like in Europe, and then also just kind of joining the workforce right after I graduate in the spring. So
How was that Germany trip?
Oh, it was phenomenal. I've been around Europe since I was born, really, since I usually went back twice a year just to see my whole mom's side of the family, and she really wanted me to get that cultural experience that she had growing up. So I've been around Europe over the past couple of years. So seeing all my friends that I've made on this team kind of experience that for the first time, it was pretty awesome to see.
What's your, you know, favorite place, you know, to travel? I've never been overseas. So, you know, if you said, Matt, you need to go here, what are the top maybe two or three places or things to go see, you know, over in Europe?
I'd say this is pretty stereotypical, but I would definitely say Italy, like Rome, Venice, and Florence are the places that I've been in Rome, or in Italy. And I think Rome, the cultural experience there that you get from all the history that's surrounded in that city is you can't go wrong with that. And then I'd also definitely say Austria. I've gone there just kind of over the winter since I do ski. So I've been there, and just seeing the mountainous Alps is phenomenal.
Love it. So last thing, I ask everybody this. It's a selfish question, I'll say, but who has the best kind of tailgate food in your opinion?
Oh, that's a good question. I think it's got to be the Straits. Every week there's a lot of barbecue going on. You don't know what you're going to get. I've seen brisket, Philly cheesesteaks, ribs. They definitely go all out for that.
They do. I remember I was doing the pregame tailgate show right in front of, you know, where the Straits were lined up, and, you know, had his grill going on. I think he had some brisket going on at the time. He's gotten a few call outs now, so I don't know. I mean, I think right now the Straits might be leading at least the number of shout outs so far. So they do the breakfast up really good, and then obviously have a good post game meal. So follow the smells, man. It'll take you all over the place there in the tailgate lot. Exactly. So well, hey, you know, Jorn, certainly appreciate again, apologize for some of the technical mishaps here. But again, it's been great to sit down and connect with you a little bit, talk a little bit about the kicking side of things. I know many will appreciate that. Big game again back here at home against Elmhurst. So let's see if we can't make a really memorable kind of return back this year. I mean, last year was the rain delay game, and we didn't finish that game until just after midnight. So, you know, fingers crossed, right? Nothing like that happens again this week.
Hopefully not.
Yep. All right. Well, Jorn, thanks again for joining me today, and we'll connect here soon.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me again.